Joining us now, Pittsburgh's premier music critic, Scott Mervis. When it comes to concerts, Scott's seen it all, heard it all, interviewed them all. Scott, thanks for your time, first of all.
Thanks for having me, Scott. We certainly had a long run together at concerts, didn't we?
I always
Many decades sitting together at shows.
I always enjoyed sitting next to you. I always envied your work ethic, too, and how you were able to get a concert review online so fast and do a tremendous job. Hardworking guy.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody last night. That kind of started at, when McCartney opened Console in 2010. I think I had a BlackBerry, and I said to my editor, what if I just gave you a couple lines about just like what the show was like and sent them in on the BlackBerry? And then I ended up writing like the whole concert review on there. Like, why don't I just start doing this? And then when the iPhone came along, it got a lot easier, for sure.
Well, back then, we were like tweeting everything. Paul McCartney just did Let It Be. And then you would tweet the next thing he did. And it was a little bit out of hand, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, we're now in May and outdoor season, concert season, starting to heat up a bit. What are, for music lovers, what are some shows you think they need to put on their radar? Some of the ones you're most intrigued by?
Well, obviously Springsteen is coming up at the arena on the 19th. And I've, you know, I'm sure we've both seen Springsteen dozens of times. I'm probably well into the 20s seeing Springsteen, going all the way back to 1978.
Yeah.
When I saw him on the Darkness tour, I was still in high school, and you know, seeing that one show, and I was hooked for life on Springsteen, that's for sure. I had been into him since you know, Born to Run in 75, and that, but he, you know, he took that time off. I don't know if you remember that. But he got into some record company legal issues between Born to Run and Darkness. He was kind of out of commission there for a while. And then when Darkness came out in 78, you know, everything was pretty much settled. He was, you know, back touring. And, you know, we got him in 78, and then we got, like, The River, and, you know, it's been ever since. So I think the last time Springsteen came, we were thinking maybe, like, is this the last one?
Yeah.
You know? And then I guess Trump prompted him to sort of come back out like right away to save democracy. So we're getting Bruce at the arena, and I hope to go. I don't have a press ticket.
Well, I remember going to the 88 Rolling Stones concert thinking, well, I got to see them. It's my last chance, 1988. And how many Stones concerts played Pittsburgh after that? There might be. Is
now
there a chance for another?
New album.
Yeah, right? I like that new song. Do you?
I'm not sure yet. I thought the vocal was a little strange. So yeah, I didn't know what to make of the vocal he was putting on that.
It's kind of a light season for stadium shows. We got Noah Kahan, Bruno Mars, Morgan Wallen. Do you expect any more stadium shows to be added?
No, I don't think so. Not at this point. But I, you know what? I'm one of those people that digs Morgan Wallen. I think I like him better than you do, actually.
I know you do.
yeah, I definitely do. I don't know. You know, I didn't want to. I'm going to say that. I did not want to. I had that bias against him because of, like, his just general behavior. But when Dangerous came out, you know, and it was like, I saw a blogger write about it. Like, this is a pretty good album. I'm like, okay, I'm going to give this a listen. And it's 30 songs, and it's got to be terrible. Because nobody can put out 30 songs and, you know, it's a good album. And then I listened to it, and I'm like, man, these songs are good. Like, they're punchy, they're well-written. He sings with, like, a lot of grit. And I've really dug him ever since. I saw him in Cleveland last summer because my daughters are really into him. And it was a good time other than the Cleveland Stadium, which I did not care for at all. It was terrible.
I saw two stories today talking about this thing, Blue Dot Fever. They're saying how some big pop shows aren't selling. The Post Malone had to postpone. Meghan Trainor ditched her arena tour. Pussycat Dolls reunion is a bust. Is that a trend, or what are your thoughts?
You know, it's funny that the Meghan Trainor is, because I actually tweeted the other day that, like, not working for the Post Gazette anymore. And I just said, at least I don't have to go see Meghan Trainor, you know? And this is before I knew that. And then somebody commented under, like, her tour was canceled or something. I was like, oh, all right. Well, that was one of the things that I was happy about, not having to go to that. But I didn't have to go anyway. Yeah, I was surprised about Post Malone because I think his stadium shows here sold really well.
With Jelly Roll last year, yeah.
Yeah, so I was shocked to see that. But maybe he just was going out back out too soon.
That could be. That could be. You know? I know you're a big fan of driving out to Star Lake to see shows. Anything?
Oh, my God.
You were there the first one, the Billy Joel show, where it took forever to get in. And somehow you made it into Dead & Company. I never did get into that show. But
Yeah, I did.
Who at Star Lake is, you think, the go-to shows this year?
I honestly don't know. I'm going to tell you two more shows that I'm interested.
Okay.
Okay. And okay.
Yep.
I think the Black Keys at Stage AE will be really cool. You know, last time they were booked to play the arena. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Obviously, you remember.
Yeah.
And that whole tour was scrapped because the venues were too big for them. And it was kind of a little bit of embarrassment for the Black Keys. And then we thought we would get like a quick reschedule. But then I think they did a tour and then they didn't come here. And so now to see them in a 5,000 outdoor spot again, that's going to be pretty hot. And the new album is, you know, gets them back to like their old beginnings, like the Sick Freakness kind of style.
Ooh, ooh.
Lots of distortion, lots of buzz on the guitars and stuff. They sound really cool again.
It's a good pick.
Yeah. And then, so going from the Black Keys to Jack White, that's later in the year. But Jack White playing at the Live Nation venue, and that guy just, like, every time I see him, and I just watched him at Coachella, he just tears it up. He is, like, the very essence of rock and roll right now.
Yeah, yeah. Whether it's playing Mr. Smalls for 800 people or playing some festival on the South Side with the Raconteurs. He can't go wrong with Jack White. Remember that?
That's Mr. Smalls show. That was like getting hit with a tsunami when he came on stage.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I love that. What are your thoughts? You mentioned that new place, the Citizens at the Wiley, Live at the Wiley, whatever, yeah. Right, pretty much where the old Civic Arena used to be. What are you hearing about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, like, you know, we saw the inside design of the place and, you know, it had that like upside down piano or something. It looked pretty fancy. I just think that it's going to be a game changer on the local scene in terms of having a space that size. And it's also adaptable to smaller sizes. So you can go like half that size, you know, quarter of that size, 4,000. So, you know, it's going to be like Stage AE has a little bit of adaptability, but this might even have more. Well, this certainly will have more indoors with curtains and things. So, and then you've got Live Nation's draw of concerts. So, for instance, one of the first shows in there is Styx, which is kind of cool because Styx had been playing Star Lake. And now to see Styx in a club is going to be a whole different experience for people that we haven't had, like, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Styx in an indoor club, I'm not sure it ever happened in Pittsburgh, to tell you the truth. I think the earliest places they ever played would probably be, like, the Stanley Theater.
And then the big swath of outdoor shows they recently announced, Heartwood Acres, South Park, the Dollar Bank Three Rivers Arts Festival. I know you're a fan of those free outdoor shows as well. Any of those got you excited?
Any of the shows at those places?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what they are.
The Fix at Heartwood Acres.
I ran the schedule, and I don't remember it very well.
Don McLean at South Park, The Fix at Heartwood Acres. I'm trying to remember. Spin Doctors are playing the Arts Festival, and Joan Osborne. Some interesting ones. I don't know. Groundbreaking, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Not The Fix, that's the guy that looks at his hands while he sings.
Oh, Cy, right? Yeah, Cy's his name? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he stares at his hands when he sings his songs, which is funny. I'll never forget that video. But, yeah, I'll tell you what. I've been listening to a lot of the old new wave lately. For some reason, I'm going back to, like, this comfort music.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm listening to a lot of New Order and Pet Shop Boys and Talk Talk. I don't know if you remember all the, you, of course you remember all those bands. And they all sound good to me. I wish more of them came to Pittsburgh, but I guess The Fix is kind of like one of them.
I'm about 270 pages into the book about the Cars that came out last year. Mm-hmm. And I've learned everything I ever needed to know about them. But weren't they the band that they did the show in 84 in the Civic Arena, and they waited 10 songs, and then Rick Ocasek said, "Hello, Pittsburgh," and that was the only words he said the whole show?
I don't know. I don't know if I saw them in 84. I saw the only time I ever saw them was at the Stanley.
Oh.
And I don't remember them being like the greatest live band in
right,
the world.
Right.
Did you see them in 84?
I missed that show, and that was my last chance. I don't think they ever played here with the original lineup.
Yeah, I don't remember the show being like that amazing, but maybe they only played Pittsburgh twice. It's possible.
Yeah. Talking with Scott Mervis, longtime music critic for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I know questions you get all the time. What's the best show you ever saw? What's the worst show? What's your favorite interview? And if you want to touch on any of those, that's cool with me. But I wanted to ask you, what's the wildest concert you ever saw? Was there ever a time you thought, like, this is going to be like Altamont? This is going to be, there's going to be a riot. We're all in trouble here. My life's at stake. Was there ever a show like that where you were kind of afraid?
Yeah, well, I'm going to throw out Woodstock 94, that night with Nine Inch Nails and Metallica and everything. That was freaking insane. I would go to the Lollapalooza in 92, and that was Pearl Jam and Ministry and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and some other craziness in between. But Pearl Jam was the second band that day, and since the announcement of Lollapalooza, Pearl Jam had grown exponentially. So when they came on, it was like a riot. Like, people were jumping over the rails, and then Starlake security was just like tackling people on the concrete, trying to keep people from like that front section from just like overflowing with people. It was just like a total rugby match for a half hour while Pearl Jam was on stage. And then the night just got even more, I'm not going to say even more insane, but it got darker, like with Ministry coming on. It was just really intense. And then I would jump to Ozfest, where it was like a mud Ozfest, and it was Motorhead and Slayer, and it was a total blast. But during one of them, people started filling up like those
fish bowls,
like those little beer, these fish bowls of beer with mud, and then throwing them at the people in the pavilion. And so there was just like these things flying like crazy. I saw somebody get hit in the head and like they got bloodied by it. And it was just like, you were watching the set and you were also watching Slayer or whatever. And then you were also watching behind that you didn't get hit by a fishbowl.
I remember that.
So definitely those two. And then, you know, all those Lollapaloozas with the fires on the lawn. You remember that. One I remember most was the Alice in Chains one.
I would associate that with Lynyrd Skynyrd fans would always light the lawn on fire.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I saw it more as the alt-rock people, like the Lollapalooza crowd. But maybe, you know, maybe both.
Yeah.
So at a certain point, they stopped allowing people to bring blankets in because people were lighting the blankets on fire.
Ah.
Like they were getting a bunch of garbage, putting it on the blankets and just lighting the whole thing on fire. Those were the days, Scott. Those were the glory days of concerts.
Where you felt in peril. Your life may be in trouble. Yeah. Miss those days.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, we are talking about you and with the Post-Gazette, and now, of course, you're moving on from there. What can you tell us about your current job situation? Are you looking? Do you have any master plan? Or, you know, what do you hope is the future for you?
Well, it's been about 4 days since this all went down. I've had a lot of like people contacting me, do a podcast, do a newsletter, do a Substack, write a book, do this, do that. I'll help you. And so I'm going to have to sit down with like a notepad or something and try to collect all these offers and write them down, because it's just been coming like in every format, like, you know, text, DM on Facebook, like email. So the first thing I'm going to do is try to put together an anthology of like my favorite stories from the Post-Gazette, focusing on like local musicians, everyone from the Skyliners up to Mac Miller to the Common Heart, and try to put that together. So I've already started on that, and that's going to be my first order of business. And, you know, we'll just see what goes from there. But I don't think I'm going to be in the day-to-day grind of, you know, of writing everything that happens and breaking news. And I know you and I were always, like, trying to beat each other on the concert, like, who would get the concert announcement out first.
Yeah.
And, you know, your heart would start racing a little bit. And so I'm kind of glad that I'm going to be out of that day-to-day grind, I think.
Yeah, well, don't rule out the high-growth industry of radio either for your next job.
That would be a blast. I just, you know, I don't have any experience in it other than talking to people like you, Scott. So.
Experience not necessary. Well, that's a great idea for a book because you have met and talked to so many people, so many hitmakers, famous people, Pittsburghers, and I would be the first in line to sign up to buy that book. So you definitely got to keep us in the loop as that progresses.
Scott, I'll sign one for you.
Please.
Absolutely will. To Scott from Scott.
There you go. Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about while we got you on the phone?
No, I just want to say, Scott, I enjoyed all those years. We were like, you know, we had a lot of fun. You were my concert buddy. We actually tried to do like a thing at one point where we would like, you know, sort of share stories with the two papers, and that would have been really cool because like everything would have been covered. But anyway, you know, it was a great run, and I hope to see you at some concert at some point. But I don't think I'm going to go to too many because I've seen a lot, and now I have to buy the tickets and I don't know, whatever.
If I get a plus one, I'll let you know.
Okay, that's great. I'll be there.
It always was an honor to sit next to you, and I'm sure I'll see you at some shows soon. But yeah, by all means, definitely keep in touch.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
All right, Scott. Appreciate it. Scott Mervis, okay. Pittsburgh music critic. Extreme. Enjoy talking to him.